Let's pray. Father, it seems that, Lord, this message was prepared before Don passed away. And it's hard for us to focus on anything else but him, Lord. Well, at least it is for me. But God, you knew what was going to happen long before it happened. And God, we got to carry on, Lord. We got to keep serving you. Lord, life does not end, God. It hasn't even ended for Don, Lord. It's just begun. Lord, he's having more fun now than he's ever had. And God, when we show up there to see him, we want to be dragging a lot of people with us, God. And we want to be able to say to him and to so many others, Lord, that have helped us and inspired us, Don, you imprinted our lives. And Jesus, we want you to imprint our lives today through your word. And we want to take what you give us and we want to imprint other people's lives, Lord, for your glory and your kingdom's sake. So help us to do that today with what we're talking about. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that not a weird title? That's a weird title, isn't it? That's a weird title. The joy of spending other people's money. Almost everybody smiles because I gave a few people. The title this week is The Joy of Spending Other People's Money. Oh, you mean you're going to talk about socialism? Somebody said that, you know? But this whole series on the greatest stories ever told, and I don't apologize for this. I think I'm getting 10 times out of it more than you guys are. I mean, I'm just blown away here. And I've always believed if I'm not blown away by what I'm teaching and talking about, then how in the world are you guys going to be excited about it? I can't remember a series where I can hardly wait to get in here and share it with you. Because it's fresh and it's alive. It's a new take on all kinds of things that we're talking about. I want to give you some setup, a few things here first. How many know who Jim Elliot is? Put up your hand. Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot is the guy who wrote the book Through Gates of Splendor. At the age of about 24, 25, he felt led of the Lord with three other guys his age to go down and minister to the Aka Indians in South America who had never heard about Jesus. And they were considered violent, okay? And he had done some prep work, dropping food by plane, you know, to show that he was friendly. And Jim Elliot, well, he didn't write the book. His wife, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote the book, Through Gates of Splendor. And around 55, 56, don't know the exact date, him and the entire three guys, they were slaughtered. They were killed, okay, the Aka Indians. And it became a media sensation in the 50s. It was in every newspaper in North America. And Elizabeth Elliot wrote the book, Through Gates of Splendor, okay? And she ended up, listen to this, she ended up taking another team, going down there, okay? And today, in that area, there's at least 50 to 200 churches that have been born because he was the first guy to go and lay down his life, okay? And Elizabeth Elliot actually led to the Lord the people, the very people who killed her husband and the other three people. And one or two of those guys became pastors of the churches, if you can believe it, okay? That's what God can do. So, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. It's a little complicated, but it's worth writing down and figuring out because that's a good quote. Very, very good. Here's another one. How many know who Anne Frank is? Put your hands up, Anne Frank. Oh, more people know that. The Diary of Anne Frank. No one has ever become poor by giving. Okay? Not bad for a 14-year-old, eh? I mean, she was 15 when she wrote most of her diaries. Man, look, wow. You know? If you don't know about her, you need to look her up on Wikipedia and find out. Now, I got another one for you. Now, don't throw things at me when I put his face up here, but there he is. Okay. Who's this? Rodney Dangerfield. Originally Jacob Cohen. Then he was Jack Roy. Then he was Rodney Dangerfield. I don't think Rodney Dangerfield knew the Lord. Okay? He's a Jewish background. But boy, was he ever a kind man. I watched a documentary on him this week. I always loved comedians and, man, I was blown away. I was blown away at the love and respect that people had for him. And the kind, charitable things that he did. And, I was preparing for this, and Dangerfield, like, he was out of show business for 11 years. He was a failure at the age of 28 and quit. And he sold aluminum siding, did very well, okay? But the whole time, the 11 years he's selling aluminum stuff, he's writing jokes all the time. And he decided to give one more try when he was 41, and he had 11 years worth of jokes, okay? One-liners. Have you ever heard this guy? Oh, man. He would make other comedians just crack right up, okay? And his career took off at the age of 41. And there's all kinds of signature Rodney Dangerfield lines. One of them, though, is he says, "Yeah, I was walking through New York City. Mugger puts his gun in my face. Says, 'Your money or your life?'" And the guy says, "Well, come on. Your money or your life?" He says, "Quick, wait, I'm thinking." Money. Bucks. Giving. Greed. Tithing. This is kind of, and this is, there are 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. Okay? 500. Approximately. Give or take 10. Okay? There's less than 500 on faith. Okay? And you know those are important things. Prayer, faith. Less than 500. There's over 2,000 verses in the Bible when it comes to money and possessions. Okay? What to do about them. And the story you're going to get this morning is a weird story. When I told people the title, "Oh, you're going to talk that story. Oh, you're going to talk about that story." No, they had it all wrong. Okay? Here's the story. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. Okay? Got that? That's key right there. He was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." So he's made the declaration. "You're done, baby." Okay? The manager said to himself, "What am I going to do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." It's a crazy story. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He said to the first, "How much do you owe me, my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil, he said. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. Well, he told him, "Take your bill, make it 800. The master commended, same guy that was going to fire him, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world," this is huge, the implications here. There's about 20 sermons in this message here, okay? And you're not going to get them all. We're going to give you a little bit of it, okay? "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Loaded. That loaded there, okay? We are not, now listen now, we are not the owner in the story here. That's not us. We're the manager, okay? We know the owner, but we're not the owner. We are the manager, okay? Now, give you a few other verses. Deuteronomy. "You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." One of the lines I've used often is, "Behind every self-made man is a God who allowed it." Okay? Always, always. Our ability to thrive, survive, work, prosper, grow, function requires a number of factors of which God has total control over all of them. Okay? We play a part, but he's got total control over them. All of those factors can be altered in the blink of an eye. Just one little factor out of place can mess things up. Does God have control? Yes, but we have freedom of choice. Okay? If God truly is the owner, and if we are the managers, okay, get what I'm saying there? If he really is the owner in our life, and he has appointed us managers, okay, generosity becomes a way of life, okay? It's not just a thing we do, it's a way of life. And some of you, when I said that, there were people that were nodding, you know that generosity, how joyful it is. It's better to give than to receive, okay? Proof of that is when we were little kids at Christmas time, we would have our Christmas list and we'd go through the Eaton's and the Sears catalog and we'd circle things and, you know, lay it on mom's nightstand, you know, like that. I don't know why I did that. Maybe I'm the only nutty one here, okay? This is what I want for Christmas, because we were young and immature. But when we started having our own kids, oh my goodness, we would go to great lengths to get them things that they didn't even expect. They wouldn't even ask for, because that's just too nice. And when they would flip out, oh man, we'd have the video camera, we'd have the cameras, but kid, there's no feeling in the world like your kids going crazy because you got them something wonderful, okay? It's better to give than to receive. Those of you who don't have kids yet, trust me, okay? If we see ourselves as owners, now listen, if we see ourselves as owners, we're managers, but if we see ourselves as owners, generosity will always be more difficult. Always. This is mine. No, it's God's, and He has called me to manage. If He's called me to manage, generosity is going to be a way of life if we're really doing it the way the owner wants us to. If we claim ownership, it's always going to be a struggle. Always. Do you recognize these guys, Hal? This is Louis. Both these guys are retired Major League Baseball players. Louis Castillo and Octavio Dotel. Okay? Both these guys had good, decent careers in the major leagues. About 8 to 10 years. They made, over the course of 8 to 10 years, each between $25 and $40 million. Okay? They're both from the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic produces more baseball, Major League Baseball players per capita than any other country in the world. I mean, it is, these guys are almost like gods when they come home. Because Dominican Republic is poorer, not as bad as, you know, Haiti, which is right on the island next to it. But, you know, these guys come in and they build schools, they build ballparks, they give back to their community. Some of them are just, you can't, they have more political and financial clout in Dominican Republic than anybody else. Millionaires, business owners, politicians, these guys come home and everybody knows their name. Everybody, okay? Now, the whole thought of not owners, managers. These guys got arrested this week, okay? I don't know if they're innocent or guilty yet, but they got arrested this week because they're involved in the evidence is, you could say it's almost overwhelming. They're involved in a cocaine ring, okay? $35 million and you're involved in a cocaine ring? Are you crazy? Come on. Some people think, oh, if I had the money, I'd be more generous. If I had the money, I'd be, you know, Doesn't work that way. The shrewd manager is commended not for his initial mismanagement, okay? But for quickly acting decisively regarding to his future. Whoa. I gotta do something. He gets radical. He does things that he might even get in trouble for. He's cutting deals with major business partners, okay? He's creating a reputation for the owner. Now remember, they all know that this guy is the owner's manager, but he's creating a reputation for the owner that the owner is generous with his business partners. Have you got that? They know it's not his money. They know if he's doing anything wrong, he's going to be the guy that gets in trouble. But he is out there creating a reputation. Wow, this guy's something else, man. And the owner must have known that because his attitude changes. He's buying political clout with his business partners here. Now, I told you the first part was loaded. I'm giving you too much this morning, really, because the next three verses I'm going to give you are three of the most loaded verses that Jesus ever quoted. Okay, here we go. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Isn't it interesting that there's a dividing line between worldly wealth and what the Bible calls true riches? There's a difference. Okay? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? I could get really, I'm not going to. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Okay? There are packed mega churches all across North America that you will never hear that verse preached ever, ever. That's between them and God. Although, when I see it on TV, I go, well, I don't watch it. I just can't. That grieves me too much. Okay? If you're a disciple of Christ, you will submit your wealth to God, or it will become your God. You got that? We submit our wealth to God, or it becomes our God. Money's an amazing tool. It's an amazing tool. Man, the things you can do with money. Okay? But it is a merciless master. Merciless. The story that we're talking about shows us that we're the manager. But we won't be the manager forever. It's not God's will that we be manager forever. He's going to bring us into ownership someday. We're going to live and reign with him. That's his will. And the reasons to delay generosity are endless. Endless. You will always be able to come up with good reason to not be generous. Got to pay off the mortgage. Got to pay off that loan. My credit card debt's insane. You know? The car. Well, you don't get Christ-like when you make more bucks. Okay? You get Christ-like when you take action to change with God's help. Jesus calls that faithfulness. Okay? Now, if you're sitting here going, the reason you're doing that is you probably haven't discovered yet how wonderfully kind Jesus is. He'll help you. He will help you. Okay? And this is not a requirement for salvation. This is something to get you through life happier. Okay? I came that you might have life and have it to the full. The thief comes to steal and to destroy. The thief is always trying to pervert our minds and deceive us and lie to us. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. When Jesus said, look, I'm the guy that's trying to multiply life in your life here. Okay? Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Generosity is never about how much money we have. It's about how much our affections God has. One of the greatest tests of how much we really love God. Where do you put your bucks? You know? Well, I'm going to do something here. And I could justify, you know, not doing this. I can give you more reasons to not do this than to do this. And James, come here. What's he going to do? He's going to kill me. James, come here. James. I have $111 here. Okay. I'm going to give that to you, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Okay. There's 11 bucks on the top. I want you to take the 11 bucks and I want you to put it in the offering box. Okay. Okay. I'm going to wait for you to do that. For those of you listening on podcast, he's putting the money in the box right now. Someday we'll have enough money in Trace Church that you'll be able to see it in a bit. Then I want you to go sit down beside your mom and say to her, Mom, what's he doing? What's he doing? Okay? And that's your money, by the way. Okay? And some of you are thinking, oh, yeah, Bob and John got a deal. That's the church. No, it was my money. Okay? But it's not really my money. It's God's money. God told me to do that this morning. Now, I can make all kinds of justification. Well, yeah, is that really God? Hey, come on now, you know? I'm going to California at the end of the month. I'm trying to save up for it, you know? I'll give you all kinds of reasons. Okay? God said do it. Now, he may go and blow it and do, you know, whatever. He may give it away. I don't care. It's your money, but it's not really your money. Everything, if we follow God, it's not his. And we've got to be quick to respond. Now, there's another justification for not doing it. Oh, some people are going to think, you know, you're doing your works before men. You want us to think you're some generous kind of guy, you know? Yeah, that's a legit reason. And that would stop me from doing it. But I could also say, yeah, I'm not going to do it because I don't want them to. No. Okay? I think generosity is always good. And you know what? If it's wrong and if my motives are wrong, God will judge me. He'll teach me. But if I hold on to stuff, okay, that's not me serving God with my finances. That's the stuff owning me. That's what he's trying to teach here. Luke 16:9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. He was my friend before. Him and I were watching hot rod shows last night, and we were watching football together. It was awesome, okay? I think he's a better friend than mine now. Okay? It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter, okay? I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. I don't know about you, but I know there's people here that you've done things like that, and you've been ripped off, and you've been conned, and nobody said thank you. And yep, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That shouldn't stop us from being generous, okay? There's times when I felt, you know, I need to, and I backed off. And I walked away saying, you should have gave. And there's other times I've whacked off and said, no, I think I got the mind of God that time. It's not mine. And as soon as I claim it's mine. Well, Luther said something really good. He said that anybody that claimed their possessions as their own were harboring stolen goods. Yeah. You know? God is not against anyone having wealth. He's warning against wealth having us. You got that? I've met poor people that are some of the stingiest people I've ever met in my life. I've met poor people that are some of the most generous people in my life. Same with rich and poor. I've met rich people, man, I mean, stingy. It's almost embarrassing being around. And I've met other rich people that you can't stop them from giving. They're giving all the time. It's got nothing to do with how much debt you're in, okay? Or how wealthy or unwealthy you think you are. And it's fun. It's fun. When you see how generosity can light people up, that is a rush. That is fun. It really is. Managing what is, and what is it lighting people up? That's managing what he has given us his way. One more verse. Command those who are rich. Canadians, the poorest Canadians that live on or below the poverty line are still richer in their lifestyle and their possessions and wealth than about 85 to 90% of the entire world. The poorest Canadians, okay? Yusufu, you just moved from Niger. You know that's the truth, okay? So that's us. We would be no violence to Scripture. We said, command those who live in Canada in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Oh, man. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Isn't that, look at that. He provides things, not so that you just survive and get through. No, he provides things for our enjoyment. He got nothing against us having fun. Even with what he provides. It's his will. Why do you think the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fun? Oh, that's your goofy Gump Worsley translation. No. That is original Greek. It's the closest word we've got to Eleutheria. I flog that one every 6 months, so just to remind you. In the Scriptures it says, where in the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there is freedom. Eleutheria is a Greek word, and the closest word we've got to it is fun. But the translators, they're a little nervous with that three-letter word. You know? He loves us having fun. When his Spirit's there, it's fun! Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take a hold of the life that is truly life. So to not do it as a counterfeit, to not do it as, that's not real life. That's not the abundant life, the rich life that Jesus said, I came to give you. Okay? Close your eyes. And again, I don't want to embarrass anybody, because this question could embarrass, I say this a lot, but today this question could embarrass you. Okay, and I don't want you to be embarrassed, but I need to be honest, so I have your eyes closed, okay? How many here this morning would say to me, John, that is so true, I've proved it over and over and over and over again in my life. Put your hand up real quick and put it right back down. Okay, it's good. About a quarter to one third of you. So first I want to pray for you people that have just raised their hands, okay? Jesus, there's about 25 to 33% of this crowd that knows exactly what I'm talking about, and they proved that they probably even didn't need to hear this message. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that come hell or high water, you would just keep fueling, Lord God, what they're already walking, and I pray you would expand their generosity. I pray, Lord God, you'd prove to them over and over again, Lord God, with blessing that we cannot contain, like Malachi says. And Lord, for the rest of them, the rest of our beloved family, God, the 25 or 33%, I pray, Lord God, through acts of love and generosity, I pray through our friendship, Lord God, that, Lord, you would reveal how much you love them. How, Lord God, it's, we always say to each other when we part, take care, but God, that's not what you call your faithful followers to do. We take risks, and we invest in people. We invest in eternal souls. It's not our money anyway. And God, if we give away too much, then we're going to trust that you're going to provide. Because the reason we did it was because we love you. And we want other people to love you. God, we're not satisfied with people just praying the magic prayer. We want to know that the risen Christ is alive in people's lives. And God, you have given us a way to do it, to ignite it, Lord God. And I pray we'd get better at it as well, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, you want to know something? A message like this, we got to talk about this a lot. This is nitty gritty stuff here. Okay. And, feel free to do that. Okay. If you got an issue with something I did or, you know, or anything or like anything I said, I don't mind talking to you. I am not afraid. I'm not going to argue with you. I don't think we're going to argue. We love each other too much, but, I want to get better at doing this. And I find if I'm worshiping and living my life with a bunch of people that are headed the direction I'm headed, it's easier. Okay. I get encouraged by that. It's not a standard where you've got to give or you can't be a part of us. That's garbage. That's, you know, that's, God doesn't honor that kind of legalistic nonsense. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? And the things that the Lord's going to bless more than anything, nobody else is going to know except you and, you know, the other person, you know? But sometimes you're going to be in a situation like I was with James where I had to go down that road because, you know, I wanted to illustrate something to you, okay? I'm talking too much. You need to talk to each other now and have a coffee and don't be in a rush to get out of here and, you know, God bless you.